Amen, and you can be seated. And open your Bibles to the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 1. And we continue our study in the book of Revelation. And we are on lesson number 5. The application is revealed. It is the fourth lesson in reference to section 1, which deals with Revelation chapter 1. So, lesson number 5, we do have lesson 6 available to you now, and that is the beginning of section 2. And section 2 is entitled The Announcement to the Seven Churches, and that deals with Revelation chapters 2 and 3. And lesson 6 is the active church of Ephesus, and we'll start on that as soon as we finish up with lesson 5. So if you need lesson 5 or 6, raise your hand. And we'll make sure you get those. We do have several with hands up. You need 5 or 6? 6? Sharon, you need 6? All right. One more and we'll have 666. And people will go, ooh. All right, anyone else? Lesson 5 or 6? All right. Very good. And our verse for lesson 5 is Revelation 1:7. That is kind of the theme, really, of the book of Revelation, in a sense, because that's what it's all about. And let's go ahead and we'll say that together. We'll say the reference, the verse, and the reference, and begin. Revelation 1:7. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Revelation 1:7. And again, Revelation 1:7. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Revelation 1:7. Father, I do pray that you'll bless our time now as we study your word. And again, we need your guidance and direction as we go through this wonderful book of the Bible, but a book that it's exciting to us, and but there's a lot of things that certainly we don't understand. And so we ask for your help. Show us what we need to see. Help us understand what we need to understand. And because of it, Lord, I pray that our lives would be different. And please speak to our hearts, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The application is revealed, talking about the apocalypse of Jesus Christ, the revealing of Jesus Christ. And, of course, we've talked about command to write and send what thou seest, send, write, and then send it to the other churches. And here's really the application. Here's what it's all about, and that is that Jesus is coming. And so Roman numeral 1, Jesus is coming, and then we'll look at Roman numeral 2, justice is coming. Praise God. Amen. And, of course, Roman numeral 3, judgment is coming. And all of that is coming. And justice, boy, you think about all the things that are going on. I don't know, I want to say, as far as in my life as a Christian, I don't know of a time when people are just downright nasty toward the things of God. And the Bible said it was going to get worse and worse. And so in my mind, I'm 53 years old, and I've been saved since I was 17. But I haven't necessarily seen a lot, but I've seen enough to say that I think it is getting worse and worse, at least in my time. It just, since I've been a Christian, I mean, even before, just before I got saved, I never ever would have even thought about, and I was a heathen, I would have never thought of breaking into a church. You know, just to bring it home, and most of you probably already heard, we were broken into again last night. That's the third time now, and I just can't even imagine. But not even that. Just, you know, the world and most people. You go soul winning, you hand a gospel tract, and there's just, people just aren't interested. They're just so anti-God. And to me, that's how it's going to be in the end times. Well, I promise you this, during the tribulation it's going to be like that because we're all going to be gone. It's going to be terrible. I can't even imagine. Letter to the editor somebody wrote recently, and again, you know, this guy that is predicting May 21st, you know, he makes us look foolish. Amen. Don't even think that the guy knows what he's talking about. You say, well, you know, his stuff seems to make a lot of... Listen to me, there's always going to be a teeny bit of truth in all error, you know, because that's how they pass off their error, is that's what the devil did to Eve in the garden, you know, give a little bit of truth, but then put enough error in it to totally destroy your life. And this guy, you know, the Bible is just, it is so clear that we're not going to know when Christ is coming. The whole idea of a rapture, it's not so we, okay, let's have our rapture party. Everybody hold your arms up. Here he comes. You know, that isn't what it's about. It's about watch. I'm getting way into my notes here, but that's okay. You know, it's about be ready at any time. It's about we don't know when he's coming, so we need to watch. And we need to be ready at any time. And so, you know, people that make these predictions, they make Christians look foolish. And again, because the world doesn't look at us as being different than him, the world looks at us as being the same as him. And we're not. We're not close. I'm not. I can tell you that. You know, so a guy writes a letter to the editor and he says, you know, I'm having a party on the 22nd. And then he makes this foolish statement that, well, we'll all be better off when you're gone anyway. Oh, how wrong he is. How wrong he is. Because this world's going to be, I mean, it's bad enough as it is, but the Holy Spirit is in us. And that holds back an awful lot of wickedness that is going to take place when we're gone. And it is a scary thought as we see what's going on. Did you hear about the walleye in Lake Erie? 1,000 walleye just died. Well, we think it had to do. Yeah, well, and the birds down in Arkansas and the fish, I don't remember where, there's a couple places, hundreds and thousands of fish have died, and these birds just fell out of the air. Was that Arkansas? Does anybody remember? Arkansas and Texas, both places, I think. And, you know, what's that all about? There's always been tornadoes, there's always been hurricanes, there's always been earthquakes. But God said, these are things that are going to be happening. The wars and rumors of wars, all of that in the Scripture. I just, it's exciting to think that the Lord, you know, we know he's coming, we just don't know when. And it may not be for another 1,000 years. I don't know. I just know this. For the world to have the idea they'd be better off without us, they are so wrong. They are so wrong. The United States of America anybody in the United States of America thinks that the USA would be better off without Christians, people that love God. We have the Christian flag, but we still salute our American flag, and we love our country, and we're patriots, and we're not ashamed to say so. Boy, I'll tell you, it is hard to imagine. But Roman number one, Jesus is coming. He is coming. Regardless of what others say, regardless of the predictions that go wrong. And you know what? On May 22nd, we'll have church, and I believe it's a Sunday. And you know, you say, well, what if he does come on the 21st? Well, he says it's a time when you think not, so I don't think he will. I'm not going to go out and predict, definitely, but I'm just saying, you know, remember Y2K? We went, you know, we didn't cancel our services the next Sunday. Right. Anyway, you just, you know what he wants? The whole message is about, well, keep doing what you're doing. Keep busy. Keep serving me. Keep going. Keep soul winning. Keep running your buses. Keep the church doors open. Keep the altar call going. Keep souls getting saved. Keep teaching in Sunday school. Keep preaching the Bible. Keep your Christian school going. Keep going. Amen. That's the whole idea, because I might come. And you better be busy. Better be busy. Well, you know, we're just going to sell everything out. Or we're going to do all of our sin, and then right before May 21st, we'll get right with God, and then everything will be great. How foolish. Jesus is coming. Now, there's two phases to Jesus coming, and certainly we don't want you to misunderstand that. And I know we've taught on this and talked about this, but the Bible says here in Revelation 1:7, "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him." Now that, I believe, is the second phase of his coming. The first phase of his coming is a word we use. It is not a word that is found in the Bible, and that is the word rapture. And so, again, the truth is found in the Bible, and we'll look at the verses here. But the word itself is not found in the Bible, which, again, that's no big deal. It's not a problem as long as we define that word, and that definition goes along with what the Scripture says. And so you can call it a snatching away, you can call it a disappearance, you can call it whatever you want, as long as you understand and proclaim that what the Scripture says about it. And that is the next event that I see, anyway, as far as prophecy is concerned. That is the next event that is to take place. And literally, it is a snatching away of God's people. And we will, as we continue our study of Revelation, we'll look at Revelation 2 and 3 in our next series of lessons, actually 7 lessons. And we'll look at those churches. We'll look at what all happened. We'll study it out from chapters 2 and 3. And then, boom, church is gone. They're all gone. No more references. Where's the churches? Where are we, Brother Hawkins? We're gone. And that's no accident in the book of Revelation. Ooh, I just got those chill bumps. Isn't that exciting? We're gone. We're just not there. Well, this church and this church and this church, and here's what I want you to do, and you better do this, and you need to do that, and oh, I'm so glad you're doing this, and you're doing, and then we're gone. Where's the church? Where'd the church go? Well, we're busy. We got a lot going on when we go, and it's going to be good, and that's any time. And it's going to be sudden, okay? It's going to be in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, and it's going to happen. There's not going to be time for somebody to, well, when I see it happen, I'll get saved then. No, it's not going to happen that way. And again, Jesus will come the first time, the first phase of his coming, I should say, and he will be in the clouds, and every eye won't see him. And that's why you need to understand Revelation 1:7, and you might just want to put a note there by that. That refers to the second phase of his coming. All right, Revelation 1:7 is not talking about the rapture, that is talking about his actual coming, and right at the end of the tribulation time, at the end of the 7 years. And so that is the second phase. But I do want to, again, talk to you a little bit about the first phase. And again, it is in Revelation, and it is in Revelation very, very quietly and yet very, very obviously after he talks to the churches, and then they're gone. Nothing else said, because we're all in heaven. And so again, he comes in the clouds, not with the clouds, and that is important to understand. So again, that is very important. Acts chapter 1, verse 7, look at it real quick. And we have a lot of scripture to look at. Not sure how far we'll get here. Depends how much preaching takes place. Acts chapter 1 and verse 7. "And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power." Now, Jesus said that, okay? And he told good Christian people that, and he told people that loved him that, people that were serving him that, people who had been praying and people who had the power of the Holy Spirit on their lives, okay, and he told them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons. Okay, so somebody stands up and says, I figured this thing out. But who in the world do you think you are? You know, who do you think that you are when he told these that are assembled here who have been praying, who have been begging God, who have been, you know, they love the Lord. They've gone through this trial. They've seen his resurrected body. They, you know, all of these things. I mean, you have to understand, he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs. These are true believers. These are people that really love the Lord. These are people that are standing there. Jesus looked at them and he told them, he said, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons. Okay, don't sit here and get your little calculator out or your abacus and try to figure all this stuff out. Okay, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons. It's very, very frustrating in our day where we're trying to figure out times and all that kind of stuff. Now, again, you know, studying the Bible is a wonderful thing, but when you study the Bible to try to predict something, God said, it's not for you to know that. It's not for us to know. Here's one thing man will know and can know. The problem is those that are left behind aren't going to, you know, they're not going to care because they don't believe it anyway. But when the rapture takes place and the tribulation begins, we do know this, 7 years are going to go by of tribulation. We know that. But see, again, we're the ones that know that. We're the ones that care about that. The ones that are left behind, they don't care about that. Okay, so he's not speaking to a bunch of unsaved people here. He's talking to his people. He's talking to his disciples. He's talking to those who are following him, those that have just gone through his death on the cross and his resurrection. These are people that love him very, very much. And he said, but it's not for you to know. Okay, it's not, this is not my will for you to know. So who does old Farmer Miller think he is in the 1840s? You know, to try to predict. And again, he was made to look like a fool. But there's a huge religion today that's followed him, and they look like fools. You know? Because what about this prediction? Oh, well, we'll just change doctrine to make it all fit our prediction. You know, it's just ridiculous. And this fella, what's his name? Camping, who said May 21st, no question. Folks, who does he think he is? When Jesus made it very clear, it's not for you to know. Look real quick. 1 Corinthians 15:51. Here's what we're talking about, the rapture. And that is the first phase. So you can't, again, the rapture takes place. 7 years later, Jesus comes. All right? And again, I don't know dates. I don't have any idea of any of that stuff. I just know there's a 7-year tribulation. That's what the Bible says. That's very clear in Scripture. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. By the way, it's a mystery. He said, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruption must put on incorruption, this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have... Didn't I give that? 1 Corinthians 15:51-54. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. And of course, we go on, and that is just a great passage as we think about our brother Al Morin. And the recent funeral, well, yesterday's funeral for him. But again, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised. Amen. And 1 Thessalonians 4, read this at the cemetery yesterday. God said, comfort one another with these words. And it is a great passage of comfort. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord." And that is what we refer to as the rapture. And that's exciting. It's a wonderful, wonderful thought. And it's so wonderful that the Bible says in verse 18, "Wherefore comfort one another with these words." You want to give comfort? Hey, here's what you say. "We'll see them again." Amen. Bible makes it clear. We're going to see them again. And it's not, we do our committal service in the cemetery, and we're not saying goodbye. We're saying, "I'll see you later." And we will. Amen. And that is very, very clear in the Scripture. 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 9. 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 9. Here's what he says very clearly. "For they themselves show of us what manner of entering..." Wait. That's not what I'm looking for. Wait a minute. Oh, yeah. "For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God." And look what he says. "And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come." What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to wait for him. That's what we're doing here. We're waiting for him. You say, "Well, others have waited before and he never came." Oh, you know, they went to him, but he's still going to come, all right? And that's what we're supposed to wait for him. Matthew 24, verse 36. Matthew 24 and 36. The Bible says, "But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only." That seems to me like that's real clear. Okay, of that day and hour. This guy says it's going to be 6 o'clock on May 21st. Predicted the time, 6 o'clock. Wait a minute, that's not all though. This is why your neighbors think you're a fruitcake, because of people like this. Okay, it's why honestly people think we don't have a clue. But it's Brother Hawkins, you're going to like this. All right, it's 6 o'clock according to your time zone. So the rapture is going to be a time zonal rapture. Now here's an interesting thought: if you were in a jet and you were flying, you actually could fly west and miss the rapture, because it's a time zonal rapture. Now, this is why the world and so many, they are getting to the place where they don't take us seriously, because of stuff like that. When it's so clear in Scripture, "Of that day and hour knoweth no man." "Gabriel, when's the rapture going to take place?" Gabriel says, "I don't have a clue." "Well, come on, Gabriel, you're an angel." "Well, don't you ever read your Bible? Can you hear Michael telling us, don't you read your Bible?" "Well, Michael, come on, you're an angel." Michael would say, "Well, maybe you ought to read your Bible." We don't know. No man knows. Right. Hello. It's my next reference. Did you get my notes? That's my next reference. Mark 13, 32 to 37. Go ahead and turn there since Clark wants us to. Mark 13. I like that. "But of that day and that hour knoweth no man." Watch this. No, not the angels which are in heaven. Are you ready for that next one? Neither the Son. Now, if Jesus came in right here and we were to have him teach on the book of Revelation, wouldn't that be something? That's what we're going to get in heaven. He's going to teach. The Lamb of God is going to teach the book of Revelation. And boy, I'm signing up for that class, amen. But if he came in here today, right now, if he came in and he were teaching and you said, okay, so when's the rapture going to take place? My Bible says neither the Son. Who said that? He did. Now, you say, do you understand? No, I don't necessarily understand all that. He did not, you know, as far as many of the things when he was here on this earth and he preached and he taught, he withheld, obviously, much of his Godhead, but he's still God. And he chose not to know that. And I'm just, again, the point is, how does a man think he's going to figure all that out? Now, here's what it's all about right here. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. That's you and I. We don't know. Who said that? Jesus said that. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey who left his house and gave authority to his servants and every man his work and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even or at midnight or at the cock crowing or in the morning. Okay, he covered all the times. So if I'm to say he's coming at 6 o'clock in the evening, doesn't that go against what the Word of God says? Yes, of course. And then when you throw in a time zonal rapture, that's a whole new definition of theology I'd have to really try to figure out. Lest coming suddenly, he find you sleeping. Lest coming suddenly, he find you sleeping. Lest coming suddenly, he find you sleeping. That's the whole idea of the imminence. It's going to happen. We don't know when. So what's he saying? Don't sleep. Now, I don't think he means don't go to bed tonight, but he means be busy. And what I said unto you, I say unto all, watch, 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 watch. If we could predict when he's coming, what would we do? Bless God, we'd be busy, soul winning up until... Really? You know what I think we do? Especially if we knew a couple years in advance. I think we would decide to be lazy for a long time because we're not going to get caught. Come on, you tell your kids, you say to your kids, all right, I'm going to be gone for 3 hours. When 3 hours are up, I'm going to be back. And do not do anything wrong, and I want everything clean, I want everything right when I get back in 3 hours. And in their mind, there is a clock that gives them 2.5 hours to do whatever they want to do. And then that last half hour, they're going to try to cover up everything that they did, you know, and try to get it, make it right. Because they don't want you to know what all they did. There's just that mental thing. Carol?
Yeah, I have a perfect example of that. I was down at Stranger, Ohio, and we had a problem in the room that a fellow wanted to leave. And so we my partner went over and pushed the button and asked for a movement officer to take him out. And I said, well, we aren't going to have anybody available for 10 or 15 minutes. Well, there was two fellows that came to the room that were really having a struggle with one another, and they took that as an opportunity to exhaust their energy. Yeah. They got there very quick after that.
And they knew when they were going to get there. And so, yeah, and that's isn't that human nature? But Jesus made it clear that is not an option to us. He could come anytime. And it's like when I worked at the gas station, and they had the inspections. Now, there was the inspection where we knew they were coming, and we knew they would show up at a certain time, and we would have to, you know, everything had to be done right and everything. But then there was the inspection to make sure that we were washing windows. Remember those days? You know, when we pumped gas and you washed, you know, you squirt the stuff on and wash it. And I'm talking about pre-squeegee days. You know, I remember seeing the first squeegee and I thought, why didn't I have a squeegee? But I remember getting bugs off with my fingernails and then going like that. But I just remember, you know, I remember There was a big grocery store, Marsh's grocery store, right by the gas station, and they would park over there, and we had no idea, and then they would observe, and I mean, they're inspecting, they're making sure we're doing what we're supposed to do, and if we don't, we get in trouble. And you know, what's funny is when there were two stores, and these guys came out of Indianapolis, we were in Marion, Indiana. And we knew their license plate because it was a 49, and so we knew who they, you know, we kind of could tell. And whenever they'd come to our store first, we'd call the North store and warn them that they were coming, and they would do the same for us. But the whole idea was to catch us not knowing that they were coming. That was the whole idea. And certainly, you know, come on, we all can figure this out. Look at Philippians 3, verse 20. Philippians 3, verse 20. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you get up in the morning and look for Him? Do you, you know, during the day, do you look out and kind of wonder? I really believe that's what He wants us to do. He wants us to be looking for Him. Every time I talk about the rapture, I just want to point out again the idea, the thought of a rapture. It's an amazing thing to think about the rapture. Amazing thing to think about all these people being gone. And you know, with the internet, you know, how fast does news travel today? Unbelievable. You know, Facebook, can you imagine Facebook? Can you imagine all of the media, what they're going to do with a rapture? Can you imagine the United States of America? Okay, all these people are gone. Now, think about all of the looting. I mean, we think, okay, church has been broken into three times in the last couple weeks. Imagine when it's announced and His word travels. Okay, so the news decides they're not going to announce that everybody's gone, all these people are gone, because we don't want there to be chaos. News doesn't have to announce it nowadays. All it takes is cell phone. And I mean, it would be all over the United States, all these people are gone. Churches would be, you talk about chaos. Folks, honestly, lives will be lost. People, houses will be broken into. It'll be unbelievable. Planes are going to fall right out of the sky. Cars are going to crash on the highways. The defense of the United States of America, there are Christians in key positions. We know that. Christians in key positions all over the United States of America. And they're gone. Pilots, train people that are involved in the trains in America, people that are involved in the air traffic controllers, I mean, key positions, military positions. There's Christians all over the United States, other countries too, but especially I think of the U.S. Can you just imagine? Police departments will be decimated because people will be gone. Hey, so-and-so didn't come in. That's how it'll start out. Where's so-and-so? I don't know. We have crashes all over the place. You know, I don't know where half our department is, but we got to get out there. The highways are cluttered with cars. Planes are in buildings, and it's going to be total, utter chaos. And some guy would flippantly say, well, it'll be good when y'all are gone. It ain't going to be good. It didn't get, because what's left behind? It's kind of like, you know, the U.S. is, you'll read about a lot of these immigration papers and things. And of course, Brother Harnden gives me all that stuff. But you know, the idea that Cuba and Mexico is encouraging their criminals to come to the United States. Oh, brother. Well, they'll, anyway, I'm not going to get into all that. It's going to be the opposite, because we're not criminals, I don't think. Matt, are you a criminal? I don't think so. Brother Ray? Nah. Brother Carpenter? Yeah. No. But, you know, it is going to be devastating in this country. Ushers, I need you to come. We need money. Amen. Go ahead and receive that offering. I'm just going to close out here. And I didn't get anywhere near where I thought I would. But that's what happens. You think about the rapture taking place. And I've said this before, and I'm not ashamed to say it. It's scary when I think about it. But I just do not see the United States in prophecy. Now, that doesn't mean I know this for sure. I just, as I study my Bible, and I've read a lot about it, and maybe not as much as you have, but when I look at prophecy, I do not see a powerhouse called the United States of America, or even called anything. I just don't see it. Some people, well, you know, we're from England and the lion, and you know, I don't think the United States is a power during the tribulation. I think we will, because we are perhaps the country with the most Christians in key positions, and I think this country will be absolutely devastated. It wouldn't shock me if whoever it is that has to push the button to launch the missiles, they're gone. None of that would surprise me. None of that would surprise me as far as any kind of retaliation. Because I got news for you. Countries all across the world, they just wait for a weakness. You know, now we not only have countries, we have this terrorism thing that is bigger than probably any threat that we've ever had, because they're here. They're all over here. They're right here now. And don't ever get this idea. Don't think that they don't have weapons here. I'm just saying, I'm not trying to scare anybody. And I, you know, when the rapture takes place, I'm going. Amen. And folks will come in here and they'll come up here. And you know, if you believe some things, my clothes will be just a nice folded pile right here, since we're not going to need them in heaven. I'm not so sure if it's going to be like that or not. I don't know. But, you know, and if they don't want this suit, I've got a whole bunch of other ones at the house. So the point is, it's going to be devastating for this world. Absolutely devastating. You, as you study Revelation, and I believe this with all my heart, the prophecy in it, we're gone. And to me, that is the beginning of the very worst thing that will take place in this world. The Holy Spirit, the influence of the Holy Spirit is out of here. And wow, what holds back man from destroying himself now? The Holy Spirit of God. Father, I pray for the lost. Lord, folks that we run into daily, co-workers, for many here, loved ones. And I do pray, God, that we'll be diligent to get the message to each and every one. It's hard to imagine those that are left behind, what all is going to take place in this world. I just pray that we'll be busy as a church, doing what we're supposed to do, and that we'll be ready for your return, and we'll be doing what we're supposed to do when you do come. We look forward to your coming. But till then, may we do your will, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.